What are some of the differences between the movie and the play for folks who might remember the movie?
Well, the plot is the same, and most of the characters are the same. Some have been changed a little bit, and some have been dropped. But the plot still turns around an elderly woman in a trailer park in southern West Virginia who has a vision that God has come to her and told her that he's going to come to the trailer park and grant everybody a wish. And so then you see the next 24 hours of what happens. That is the same thing in the play and in the movie. It's different, though, in the play because of the songs. In the movie, there were a couple of musical numbers, but it was not a musical by any means. Now it is a musical, so that the songs carry the plot in certain places. In other words, we've eliminated pages of dialogue by putting in a song. And we're able to also, because of that, bring up some subjects that the movie didn't bring up. And so there's some major differences, but the characters and the basic plot are just the same between the two.
Can you share one of the specific parts have been replaced with a song?
At the beginning, when the woman tells people that about her vision, they're doubtful, and some of them are skeptical, and there's a preacher who says, oh, that's blasphemous to talk about talking to God and God's coming. And right in the middle of all that, someone says, he's here. And they go, God? And they say, no, it's the damn governor. And the governor is visiting the trailer park to try to sell one of his new plans for prosperity. So they give him a real hard time, the people. He's there with an aide, and they ask him questions and challenge him. And instead of going back and forth with a bunch of questions and answers, what happens is the governor sings a song. And the song kind of turns it around to the people, saying, you think that our problems here in West Virginia are my fault. Well, what would you do if you were in my place? And the name of the song is Plates on a Stick, because the governor makes a comment like, my job is kind of like the guy in the circus with the plates on a stick spinning. I got to keep them all spinning. Meanwhile, I'm trying to please everybody and fix everything. And how would you do this?
I got plates on a stick, they're just a spinning. I got to fight to save this state, and I'm not winning. My constituents are here, and they ain't grinning. When you get elected, that's just the beginning. I get a long list of gimmies every morning. A bunch of troughs I'm supposed to pour the corn in. And the backstabbings come without a warning. Sometimes I curse the place that I was born in. You think this job is easy, why don't you try it? Go make a plan, see if anyone will buy it. It's like telling some fat guy go on a diet. Say one wrong word and you can start a riot.
What song has the most meaning to you, you think, when you were writing this music? Which one really do you think connected with you?
Oh, there's a few. The governor's song connected with me, but in the second hour, the song about war connected with me because I've never heard a song quite like this. It's it talks about the fact that people make fun of us, that is, i.e., hillbillies, rural people. They look down on us. You know, we're the flyover place. We're not part of the mainstream until there's a war. And then they look at us differently. They want us on the front line. And it talks about the big guys make the war, we fight the war.
There's always another war. The fighting never ends. Before the last war is over, a brand new war begins. Those who look down their nose and whisper behind our backs, now send us to the front line to fend off the new attacks. We're the first ones called when the going gets rotten. First to fall and the first forgotten.
Do you think it leaves any kind of room for that kind of negative interpretation that people might be a little hesitant to sort of jump on board with it? And if so, what do you say to those folks?
I hope there's some controversy. makes it, it otherwise it wouldn't be realistic. It's not a propaganda piece. It's not, it doesn't take a side. It doesn't say we're right and you're wrong. It there's blame to go around with a lot of people, and there's also credit to go around with a lot of people. I think it explores it's not a simple thing here, and it's not a, nobody has simple answers. No one ever has, and I don't think they ever will. So I think, yeah, there'll be people that wonder whatever. It's like anything that makes a statement. If you make a statement of any kind, somebody will challenge you. Somebody will agree with you.
And while this is a fictional story, what do you hope the audience learns about our culture, West Virginia culture, by watching this play?
What I hope comes across is that we have our differences, and we have a lot of challenges that I think everybody's familiar with, from, you know, from the wage earning and the economy to the temptation to leave and find someplace better, to arguing amongst each other about how come somebody does this and that. But when the things get difficult and the crisis comes, everybody in the park pulls together. And in the end, you, as a viewer, have to decide yourself, did God come to the trailer park or not? There's a lot of hints that show what the director thinks, but you have to make up your own mind. Basically, I think it's that we pull together here. We care about each other at West Virginia. The bottom line of almost everything is that when push comes to shove, people care about each other and they try to help each other.
Larry Gross, host and artistic director of Mountain Stage, talking about his latest project as the writer of the music of Paradise Park, the musical, showing now at Theater West Virginia. Larry, thanks so much.
Thank you.